In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There's an old play I remember seeing once about the days of Noah. Honestly, I don't remember why I was seeing this play or it even being a particularly good performance. There's an opening scene that is especially striking. The curtain comes back and there's a single spotlight on the young Noah, off to the side of the stage, building an ark. On the opposite side, Noah is soon tormented by a happy group of scoffers. They were clearly coming from a wedding or some other celebration. They were going on with life as normal, as crazy Noah builds an ark in the middle of the land. The scoffers weren't particularly mean to Noah, but you got the idea they kind of pitied him. You could tell they thought he was just a complete fool. Life was available to Noah. Marriage and parties and jobs and weekends and fun was available to Noah. And Noah was spending every minute on this boat. You and I, of course, coming at the conclusion of a holiday weekend, are much more like the scoffers than Noah. We're not particularly mean to people about it, but we have lives to live. And more often than not, life goes on basically as normal. Not a lot of huge ups and downs, just life. Even when life takes an unexpected turn, we tend to convince ourselves it's merely an aberration, a slight adjustment from what usually occurs. Even when catastrophe strikes our life, we encourage one another that time will heal all wounds. Life will just go back to normal. Ultimately, we figure our life just goes along, so we just go along, not really expecting too much of anything to ever change. Those of you who participated in our Screwtape Letters study last summer will remember this sort of distraction and numbing is the age-old trick of the devil. The devil works to convince us that everything is going to stay basically like it is right now. It's a way of convincing us that even if we live in the days of Noah, we can afford not to worry, not to plan for the Lord's return. We can just go through life putting one foot in front of the other, certain that nothing much will ever really change. Some of you know I'm a strange duck to end up in the priesthood, I suppose, for a lot of reasons. But one in particular, I have an undergraduate degree in business. And in business speak, there is such a thing as a disruptive innovation. These innovations are new ideas or new products that change a whole industry forever. Most often, we don't even see them coming, because they're not just kind of incremental improvements on the way something was before. They're radical new approaches that often make their predecessors entirely obsolete. Classic example, when CDs, compact discs came out, tapes went out almost instantly. It's happening to CDs now, but that's another story. Our gospel lesson this morning led St. Peter to his famous phrase, "When Jesus comes back, he will come back like a thief in the night." His coming will not merely be an incremental change or a slight adjustment, a little bit of an improvement on our already existing life. Rather, it will be the ultimate in disruptive innovation. Everything will really change. For us, we're to be as ready as we can for that change, not to live like the scoffers in the days of Noah, but to live ready, ready for the coming of Jesus Christ, for he shall come suddenly. We're to build our metaphorical ark, our relationship with him, but no matter how strong the boat, the flood will seem overwhelming at times. Jesus shall come at least, no matter how holy we are, he shall come at least in some way we didn't expect, in some form we don't recognize. He will come as a stranger. And welcoming strangers is hard. For starters, many of us think immediately of both legitimate and, quite frankly, illegitimate concerns about our safety or the safety of our loved ones who might be with us. The ultimate solution to this concern, of course, is our confidence in the eternal life in Christ Jesus, but nevertheless, welcoming strangers into our lives can be scary. It's also awkward. There are all the unknown social dynamics, the uncertainty of what to talk about, the painful reality of meeting someone who's struggling in a way that we just don't. It's awkward. And welcoming strangers can feel a little futile, especially the more strange they become. If we meet someone with so little in common with us, then it can feel silly, almost pointless. We can wonder, why bother getting to know this person? Yet welcoming strangers, that is to say, welcoming those whom we don't know, aren't likely to meet in our normal course of life. Welcoming those strangers has a direct and particular impact on our relationship with Jesus. Welcoming strangers teaches us to be prepared for the God who will come again. And while we will hopefully recognize much of him for our relationship with him, he will be more than we imagined, and he will almost certainly seem, at least in part, like he did the first time, to come as a stranger. If we are used to welcoming strangers in our lives, then we will be all the more ready to welcome him. And just as we find meeting strangers to be hard, even futile, awkward, how do you think Jesus feels about meeting us? We might find the social dynamics perhaps just a little out of place. He might fear for his safety, given how it went last time. Given our constant disregard for him, he might feel the meeting to be just a little futile. Of course, the Lord himself sees the larger picture, but it doesn't change the fact Jesus will come as a thief in the night. And to an extent, that means Jesus will come as a stranger to you and to me. We would do well to learn how to welcome strangers so that we might be all the better prepared to welcome him. That's what we're going to be focusing on in these 4 weeks of preparation for his coming 25 days from now. Next week, we encounter the final prophet, John the Baptist. John is a stranger's stranger. He lives out in the woods, proclaims repentance, for the kingdom of God is near. In 2 weeks, we turn directly to Jesus' ministry with the poor, the sick, and the needy. The scriptures tell us these strangers are close to God's heart. We need to learn to welcome them as he welcomes. And finally, we'll look at two people who seem to be received as unwelcome strangers everywhere they went, Mary and Joseph, just before Mary is due to go into labor. Each week we'll ask, why is it so hard to welcome this stranger? Why does this stranger seem so dangerous? And what does the gospel say in response? Don't be caught unprepared, for these, in fact, are the days of Noah. For the Lord shall come back in a way that we don't really know, at a time we don't really expect. Don't believe the lie that nothing will ever change, for everything almost certainly will. And on that day, our ability to recognize and welcome the Lord himself will be impacted by how we've welcomed and received strangers in our own life. I hope you'll be with us. It's going to be a powerful month. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.